Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Motor City Black Age of Comics, Chronicles of the Revolution Nerd. Sorry, been so long since I've been on here. Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd 24. I am your host, Mr. Andre Batts. Along with me, I have Ms. Cynthia McDonald. How are you, Ms. Cynthia McDonald?
I am doing well. How are you, Mr. Andre Batts?
I'm doing wonderful. Listen, I don't have an echo going on, do I?
Probably me.
Okay, no, I was just wondering because I had to use another line in order to make this call on the show this evening. Usually I use another phone, which is perfect for it, but the battery is dead. Wasn't prepped up and ready like I should have been.
It happens.
Right, so... So, it's been some months since we've been on here. I think last time we were on here, our last guest was, I think, Vince White of Powerverse Universe. You know, Vince White, he creates a universe full of different characters, a diverse group of characters, and different independent creators come together and put our books together. And now we've just got one ultimate universe called the Powerverse. I think it's something that's really positive that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm looking for big things coming out of that. So that was a minute ago, but now the Powerverse is actually in the making now. So the first book now is The Powers That Be, which consists of Dreadlocks, Willpower, Purge, the Brother, and a few other characters from Independence. So we're starting to make moves now with that. So
I'm
looking forward to the end product.
Mm-hmm. Are any of those going to be debuted at this year's Motor City Black Age of Comics?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we get our copies ready for the Motor City Black Age of Comics. They should be ready because it just went into print maybe 2 weeks ago, so it should be ready at this point. So I'm looking forward to having them there.
Nice.
And there's so many things that's been going on since the last show. You look at, man, you got different movies coming out. I think Luke Cage just came out. You got The Defenders. You have Black Panther getting ready to come out soon. Star Trek Discovery.
Yes, in February. Yes.
You know,
there's
much going on.
So much stuff. Yeah, it's been so much things that have been actually, that has been, like, really debuting as far as, like, you know, to make all the, you know, the nerd soul tingle, as I like to call it. I know that I've seen recently also the trailer for Justice League as well.
Looks like
it's gonna be pretty good. I was gonna ask you this. What did you get a chance to see Wonder Woman?
Yes, I did. I did see Wonder Woman. And
so what did
actually
you think
I thought it was a pretty good movie, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best product that DC has put out as far as their superheroes are concerned, outside of The Watchmen. You know, I think The Watchmen was an excellent story. You know, I'm not going to take anything from The Man of Steel because I really appreciated that movie. And Batman Begins, those were two of my favorite as far as the DC Universe movies. But Wonder Woman just topped all of them.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, I was a little, at first I was like, gosh, this is moving slow. And then,
right.
I mean, but then like after stuff got, you know, it picked up and I really appreciate the action scenes. I thought that Gal Gadot did a really good job with that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But since like, you know,
well,
this
you
is
know,
supposed to be blurred talk.
Well, you know, they start from the, had to give her some type of origins going on. You know, most origin stories are they're usually slow.
Yeah, that's true. I know they had to do the origin, and you know, and I guess like with me, and you know, a little bit of ADD was kicking in a little bit. Like, okay, can we move this along?
You were twiddling your thumbs. We're like, what's going on?
Just a
here?
Little bit. Just a little bit. I was like,
I can believe it. So yeah, I really appreciate. I actually could have went to see that movie twice, really. But, you know, I could have seen it twice. To me, that's how good it was. But I'm good, you know, because it takes so long. It comes out so fast on demand, or you know, or on cable.
Right.
Television, you get it like maybe a month or two right after it's been out. But, you know, they try to hold out on us a little bit before they put them out. But this time, I think I'm going to start waiting some of these movies out because it's some that I've seen twice. That after I've seen it the second time at the theater, I'm like, man, why did I waste my money coming to see it the second time? So I figure I'll wait this one out because I didn't want to be disappointed in what I think. But one thing I was disappointed about hearing is her pay rate that she received for actually doing this movie, Wonder Woman. Well, as a matter of fact, all of her appearances in the Batman vs. Superman and and now, you know, Justice League getting ready to come up, including that. It doesn't look good. You know, it's like she's making like maybe 3% what the movie was worth in the end all, and everybody else is making their due. Ben Affleck's cleaning up.
Yeah, that's true. That's an issue that has been going on for eons, especially in Hollywood. Like, female counterparts always made so much more less than their male counterparts. And we're not even going to get started on, like, you know, your black counterparts versus your white counterparts as far as, like, you know, starring is concerned. It's very sad. But especially since that movie made so much money, and it's and like you said, it was like out of all the recent DC movies that came out, that was the best. That one was the best. I mean, even like, you know, because like I know that we had a whole discussion about the Dawn of Justice, and and I remember, like, we were just, like, listing, like, all the problems with that movie. You know, the only thing that we all agreed on was, just, like, the action scenes were good. But other than that, it's, like, just the way that they, you know, the storyline, the way that it was told. You know, I remember saying, like, how in the world could Superman be able to locate Lois Lane anywhere in the world? Right, but he didn't know where his own mother was.
I mean,
it didn't make no sense. Make any sense. I mean, but you know, they cleaned up, right? They cleaned up,
And he had a stronger love for his mother, and he had a stronger love for his mother. So that's the odd part about that. You know, he can find Lois, but he can't find his mom. I didn't get that either.
Did you ever get a chance to
see Luke Cage, the series that came on Netflix?
Of course I did.
Okay.
Of course I did. I mean, like, okay, so I have to say with Luke Cage, I just appreciated that that was one of the blackest shows that I haven't seen in a very long time. And, you know, it really was. I'm just like, okay, if you all didn't pick up, like, this is a black show for real, this is a black show for real. And also, too, I got a chance, like, you know, Spotify oftentimes builds, like, playlists around, like, different shows that come out, especially that are streamed, and they did a playlist just for Luke Cage. Because I think that one of the things that, and I said this even about Defenders, because, like, I posted on Facebook when it came out. I said, I wanted to do, does Luke Cage have a contract that every time that his scene comes up that they got to play cool music?
Well, you know, he got his thing. He got to have that.
Yes. I mean, like, every time, like, you know, like, if it wasn't D'Angelo playing, it was Rafael Sadiq playing, it was, you know, some other underground artist was playing, I was just like, okay, y'all, okay. So, but yeah. But you know what the Luke Cage series reminded me of a little bit? Do you remember from the 90s, that show, New York Undercover?
Oh, yeah, of course. Watch that all the time.
I remember, like, at the very last, usually, like, towards the last scene of New York Undercover, they always had, like, a guest musician that would come on and perform in whatever club that they would go to. It was like a bar club, nightclub type thing that they would go to.
Right.
And, like, when they were going to... when they were going to, God, you got to help me out, Andre. Like, when they were going to that one club that was owned by the dealer, the drug dealer, the one that he killed.
You're talking about in New York Undercover, right?
No, actually, in Luke Cage.
Yeah, Cottonmouth.
When they were going to. Yes, and Cottonmouth Club. And they had, like, you know, all the different artists that was coming in that was performing. That's what it reminded me of. So,
It did. Well, you know, when dealing with us, you know, we have to have that type of element in most of our movies, and I really appreciated that or whatever, because if you didn't appreciate the characters per se, you most definitely appreciated the music in the background.
Of course.
No doubt
but
about
I
that.
Think that the
know.
Characters, but I believe that the characters, I believe, were also well thought out as well. I really appreciated Mistito. I
Misty?
Felt that she
okay.
had the right Misty Knight. I appreciated her character. I felt that she had the right. Let me backtrack a little bit. You know that often, a lot of times that, you know, when they put like black female characters in shows, sometimes they have like this stereotype character that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, you know, like this, the sister don't take no mess type stuff, you know, it, you know how that goes.
Right.
You know, this ready to pop off and got like, you know, the sister girl neck in 2 seconds and she just ready to cuss everybody out. But one of the things I appreciated about Misty was that she was smart, but she had the right amount of sass. She was also very classy and she was very intuitive to her environment and also Luke Cage. And I really appreciated that about her. You know, she seemed to be more of a, she was offered more than just, I'm just a cop on New York streets. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I appreciate about her.
Yeah, me too. You know, I know the brother that, you know, helped create Misty Knight, Arvell Jones.
Yes, yes.
You know,
I
spoke with
him
a couple of weeks ago. Right. And I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. We were at a show in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And one of the things I asked him was, did he appreciate how Netflix, you know, portrayed Misty Knight? And he stated, you know, that he appreciated and he was glad that, you know, they gave her that just do on the screen. He said that, you know, they actually did a good job as far as he was concerned. And I was just
That's
wondering, because, you know, sometimes, you know, when they take our characters and put them on a big screen, you know, they may take from it and just make it into something totally different.
Right.
You know, you're wondering, like, hey, wait a minute, what happened here? You know, what did they do to my character?
Exactly.
But he said they did a good job.
Completely dismantle it. Yeah, I'm glad that he approved. I thought that they did a pretty good job with her. Even how her character carried over into Defenders. I appreciated the way that, you know, it was handled. But did you see, I believe, I want to say about a month or so ago, they leaked one of the, a photograph of Luke and Misty walking together because, you know, they're currently filming season 2 for Luke Cage. And they showed her arm, her new arm.
We spoke on that. Yeah. I'm glad that they're bringing it in now, you know, myself. You know, I'm really glad they're bringing it in. You know, I'm looking forward to a lot of different things just get ready to take place, you know, even on my end. You know, I've been doing so many things, like, you know, I've been building, you know, for Urban Style Comics per se. You know, I've been building my catalog for, you know, Dreadlocks. You know, I have several books, you know, in the making right now. You know, I don't really show a whole lot on Facebook, but, you know, I'm not here for that. But once I start dropping these bombs, you know, it's going to be like, wow, we see why. You know, he's been holding out on us because, you know, I have a couple of fans that's been inboxing me and emailing me like, man, show us more, show us more. And I told him, trust me, there's a lot more to come. You know, my catalog, I have to get it where I want it to be so then that way, you know, it can come out timely like I want it to. You know what I mean? Then that way everybody can get their copies every 3 months or so. But I have my latest Black Watch book. You know, I just finished it. I'm getting ready to send it off to the printer so that it can be ready for the Motor City Black Age of Comics coming up November the 18th.
Nice. You want to talk about what one can expect to see at the Motor City Black Age of Comics?
Yes. You know, this year, you know, we have my very special guest, I should say, Larry Strowman of Tribe Well, he did the Tribe Comics with Todd Johnson back in, I think it was early 90s, late 80s. Larry Strumman has been around for a long time. That's my special guest.
Yeah.
He's going to be here, and I'm looking forward to having him here because this will be the first time he's actually been to the Motor City Black Age of Comics, and I really appreciate the fact that he agreed to come here this year because I've been trying to get him for a few years. We have Detroit Tradecraft, you know, they're legendary. They're like staple with the Motor City Black Age Comics. Detroit Tradecraft, they basically do a lot of things within the city of Detroit in the sense of, you know, teaching the youth on developing comics, drawing, animations, story building, and things of that nature. You have T.I. Walker, you know, he's part of Detroit Tradecraft, but he also has his own comic label called Generate Comics. We have him, Charles P. Jackson. We have brother Charles Washington coming in out of Cincinnati. He's going to be coming up. He's been doing comics just about as long as I've been doing dreadlocks. You know, he's been doing them for a while. His brother's good. We have sister Sherry Savage. You know, she's got the coloring book that she does called Naturally Illustrated. It's the bomb. You know, everyone that I know that touches Naturally Illustrated is like gold to them. It's like they got to have it. You know, so she's going to be on board. We got, of course, we got Freestyle Comics, Michael Watson coming through. One of the hardest working men in comics, one of the hardest working black men in comics. I should say, let me clear that up. That's what he is. So his brother, he's coming, doing his thing. You know, he's been at all the shows. You know, I'm glad to have him on board. We got Victor Dandridge is going to be, he's not going to be here, but he's going to be, he's going to take care of other things that he's going to be sponsoring. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to be sponsoring the meal for the different artists that are going to be here. So, of course, you got Urban Style Comics. That's me. Got Keith Young. He's going to be here. You know, Keith Young, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but Keith Young, he does different lectures. He's in the lecture circuit. So he's going to do a lecture on the African origins of superheroes. That's a powerful lecture that he does. So he's going to do that. We got Cam. Cam Comics is going to be here. Cam is going to do his thing. He's also a hip-hop artist. You know, he's called himself Kool-Aid Cam, so he's probably going to perform as well. Devin Camel. Devin is a good artist. He's into the robot, not necessarily robots, but he's into the Transformers type imagery. And the brother is really good. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just now getting out there. He's been out there now for the past 4 years or so. But I really appreciate his work. It's really good. We got, you know, Dwayne Maximum Man coming through, Maxman Johnson. It's going to be his first time coming up. He's coming all the way from B-more, Baltimore, for those that don't know. Check out Maximum Man. You know, it's a dope comic that he got. You know, Short Fuse Media. You know, everything they have is dope. You know, Short Fuse Media, which is Sean Mack and his crew. And they're also teamed up with, you know, Michael Watson, the Freestyle Comics. Of course, we got DW Publishing. We have Steven Miner. He created a character called Moon. He's been doing excellent work on his stuff. He hasn't been to the Motor City Black Age in a minute, but happy that this brother's decided to come back on board. Of course, we got Peep Game Comics. You know, Peep Game Comics is responsible for a lot of black indie comics being distributed through PDF formats. If you want to order a digital comic book, you can go to peepgamecomics.com and you can find a whole catalog of every black creator that's out here. We have Legends Parallel, which is brother Brian, Bill, you know, they're doing their thing. You know, their comics are off the chain. You know, we have Kim Mosberry. She's going to be coming through. She hasn't been here in a minute, but I'm glad to know that she's coming back. She did a piece for me a while back called Queen Nubia, one of my characters, Queen Nubia. We have Black Science Fiction. They want to be here again. You know, I appreciate support from Black Science Fiction. I love Black Science Fiction to the end. Got Brown Brand Comics. We got PBS Media that's going to be on board. Reborn Comics, which young brother just getting started on doing his book, Asher Shelton. We got Keith Gaskin. He's a science fiction writer. He's coming through with his thing. You got Masses Media, which is Jerron Love, Engender Comics, which is, you know, Yorley Huff. She's coming through doing her thing.
Nice.
We got Phoebe Loveless. We got Selecto Palin. They're into steampunk. Selecto Palin, she does a show here in Detroit called the Motor City Steam Con, which I'm going to be a part of that next year.
Nice.
Me and one of my counterparts, we're in the process of creating a story and creating characters for another comic book that I have coming on board as far as Urban Style Comics. It's going to be steampunk related, but futuristic. It's going to be really dope.
When
people see this, they're going to be like, wow, this is so cool. We got Matthew Ellison
steampunk
coming.
Right now.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to blow the lid off with that, you know, with steampunk, you know, because we got Motor City Steam Con that's coming in July. But like I said, we got some stuff ready for that as well. So, you know, I'm going to have Ms. Loveless is going to do a panel on steampunk, you know, there at the Motor City Black Age. We're also going to have a couple of workshops going on, you know, writing. We're going to screen, you know, White Scripts, Black Superman. And the night before, you know, we're going to have a book signing at Green Brain Comics with Larry Stroman. He's going to be there, featured at Green Brain Comics. And we also are going to have a double feature screening the night before at Wayne State, at the venue for the Motor City Black Age, of the Black Dynamite and Black Belt Jones.
Yes,
and
I'm
also
so looking forward to that.
There's so much going on. Also, and this is my biggest kicker right here that I just can't wait, is I have someone that's going to cosplay my character, Queen Nubia, is going to be there.
What? Nice. Nice.
Yes. I can't wait.
See, because I'm a little offended, because, like, if you would send me a costume, you know I would have did it, because I have no problem cosplaying. That's cool.
Well, next time. I got you.
Well, you already got me on duty for this, for the Motor City Black Age of Comics.
You sent Miss Cynthia McDonald, you yourself, you're going to be there co-hosting with Oz Wilson. Oz Wilson is a screenplay writer. He's going to be doing something with that as well, as far as a workshop. And you're going to be doing a couple of interviews with some of these individuals, because we're going to have Brown Brand Comics is going to go around interviewing different artists, and you're going to be on board with that. So we're going to have an excellent show.
Yes, we are. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, you know, like, a few people who are listening, like, I got a chance to actually go to Motor City Black Age of Comics a couple of years ago, and we were just going to talk about, like, a book that we were going to come out with. Unfortunately, that went down the tube, but we're revamping. It's all good. But I tell you, like, some of the people that came out as far as, like, creators are concerned, and just the diversity of the different work that you would see, like artists, comic creators, novel book writers, as far as, like, you know, science fiction is concerned. You know, it was just like such a big conglomerate of different people that was there presenting their work. It was so dope. And because, like, you know, one of the things that I would hear, like, sometimes that people will say is, like, they don't necessarily support, you know, a lot of our writers and our creators, because they just don't think that they're that good. But I would say that I believe that those people are missing out because they really don't do any research for the people
who are really out there pushing
their work.
We gotta have a part two because it's ending.
Yeah.
Right okay. now, it's already
yeah, well,
ended.
We'll discuss that as far as I next go around. You all please pay attention to Facebook. We're going to be and other parts of social media. We're going to be advertising the next Motor City Black Age of Comics, the Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd, where you can call in and also talk to us as well.
Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful
Thank
evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.